Grey's Anatomy is back with their winter premiere, and Joe's husband finally tracks her down. We're talking about that and more coming up.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Now I'm your passenger. Your me won't work. Now I'm your passenger.
I like that song, and I like the metaphor for passenger for Joe and Karev's situation. So we'll get into that.
That's very true.
Hey guys, thank you for joining us. I'm El Marie. You guys can find me on Instagram and on Twitter at El Marie TV. And I have a guest host here with me.
Hello everyone. I am returning to the Grey's Anatomy panel. I'm your host, Marissa Serafini. You can follow me everywhere as Serafini TV. I missed this panel.
Yeah.
It was fun.
It's going to be exciting. Shannon, Kelly, and Timothy will definitely be joining us next week. But so it's us two tonight to talk about this winter premiere. Now, you're still jamming out to the song.
I know, this is a great song. This is downloading on iTunes as I walk out
like,
of the studio.
Like, as you speak. So we were both kind of talking about, you know, the winter break. It was a little bit long. Then everything you do, so you kind of forget what happened. But thank you for the... you know, Grace putting up the previously on this episode type of thing. So we remember that the hospital was hacked. It was so much going on. The hospital was hacked. There was the case with the little boy. They didn't know what medicine he needed.
Right.
Joe is really trying to get them
heparin.
The information. Right. And boom, walks in Paul, her husband, out of nowhere.
And it's so hard to see Matthew Morrison play a mean, bad jerk. So I'm so used to him as, you know, Will in Glee. And I just cannot get that image out of my head because he's so good at being good. So to believe that he's bad, I actually believed it in this episode.
He it's kind of scary, but I feel like he had the eyes.
Yeah.
Like he had the look of where you could believe it. So he played the role like very well.
He did. I agree.
But it was very shocking for her. And the thing was, so I didn't know how, we didn't know how it was going to unfold. If he was just kind of going to come to her like, oh, I found you, unfinished business. If he wanted to kind of attack her or anything. But he's like, oh, I found you. Thank you for sending the divorce papers. I'm engaged and I want to get married.
Right.
But to me, that's like, that still shows signs of an abuser because she sent you the papers. All you had to do was sign them. You didn't have to come here.
Yeah.
Like.
He made the effort to actually go see her. And what was so surprising to me was that he brought his so-called fiance, quote-unquote. And I didn't know who to trust. And I was trying to think maybe the fiance will be, like, some light into this and actually maybe change his ways or be that second person like, oh, crap, what did I get into? And it didn't happen as the way that I thought it was going to be, especially with her situation.
Yeah. I was kind of, surprised by that a little bit, too. And not only that, him bringing her there, bringing the fiance there with him, then when he looks at Joe and is like, oh, you look good. Looks like you got the help you needed.
Yeah.
And right away, I was like, I was so taken aback by that. But then as the episode
He's
went on, very. But as the episode went on, I'm kind of like where you are, where I started to kind of question, like, well, maybe because we know Joe's past, sometimes she kind of, you know, she had to grow up, you know, in a rough environment. So she would have stories when we first saw her, when she first was introduced to Grace. So then it kind of brought me back to that, like, oh, well, is this just another story that Joe's telling? You know, could it kind of be twisted a little bit? So
right, because we only know Joe's backstory. We don't know his, other than the fact of what Joe told us.
Right.
And we're just conditioned to believe her because we know her and her character. She is the protagonist in this situation. But she, I think he did a great job. Paul Stradler is... Stradler.
Yeah, Stradler, I think. Yeah.
Paul did a great job of making the audience realize, oh, hey... like, I was also there. This is another story. People are so used to listening to you, and you're probably used to getting your own ways. I was like, that might be true, because Joe likes to play that pity card a lot.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, I grew up in a trailer, X, Y, and Z. I'm like, maybe.
Yeah.
We do need two sides to a story.
Who do we want to believe
at the end of the
day? I started to second guess her for a second.
Mm-hmm.
I really did. They did a good job with that. So with writing, like, so it wasn't so predictable that... Like I said, like, I really expected him to just pop up and just be this angry, right. abusive guy, like physically and everything, and they didn't take it that way.
Yeah, but they are also in a public location too, so mm-hmm. I didn't think he would actually like get physical with her in front of everybody, mm-hmm. especially he's at in her ball court, true. To speak right now. Mm-hmm. He's not going to act out surrounded by her peers. So,
yeah. Well, some people still do.
Some people do. But I didn't. I'm glad it didn't escalate mm-hmm. physically to the point of where Joe led us to believe where he's capable of. Mm-hmm.
But then everyone who didn't know the story with Joe and Paul, like Arizona at first, she didn't know. Richard, he didn't know. And they're all just so like, oh my gosh, because he's a well-known surgeon as well. So everyone's like, oh my gosh, Paul, like, you're here. You're so great. I want to, you know, talk to you and things like that. And Joe is just standing there like, no, like, please don't talk to him. You can't love him. He's not a loving person.
You can love the work, but not the man.
But not the man. Oh, that is a good one. Mm-hmm. That's a good one. Like, I was like, that just did something to me.
Still left him charmed. There you go. Give credit where credit's due.
But yeah, so we'll get like more into them. I kind of want to go back to get into Meredith and her reaction to that. But they're also, the hospital is still dealing with the hackers.
Yeah. Like, and it was just surprising because I'm glad not to jump ahead that mm-hmm. it didn't play out for as long as I thought it was going to. And I think it just forced all the surgeons and the doctors there to like really think on their feet mm-hmm. and be practical and mm-hmm. like take it back to the drawing board, take it back to their foundations and their roots. And I thought that was everyone still had like still ended up saving their patients.
Yes.
You know, mm-hmm. because and it also proves that they are just good doctors. Mm-hmm. They have good instincts and medical practices. Yeah. And they're not always reliant on mm-hmm. on technology, but on their actual instincts.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that.
Mm-hmm. Like, I like the scene with Kepner and Owen when they, with the older guy, had, like, the trachea thing in his throat. And they're both, like, trauma doctors. Mm-hmm. So I remember a few episodes back where Owen noticed that in Kepner, like, she was kind of good in trauma. So they both had this situation where they didn't have all the tools that they needed. But like you said, like, their instincts kicked in. The fact that they've both been in a field where they don't have a lot of resources, so they have to use what they have. So I like that. That was pretty cool. And they were able to save the guy. Like you said, they basically saved, like, everyone this episode.
I don't think we lost a patient episode.
No. Mm-mm. Even the lady that was bleeding out in glasses had to, Schmidt, I think this is real name. Glasses had to donate his blood. It's Specs now. Specs is kind of cooler.
Specs is better.
But he had to donate his blood to help the lady. And he was getting, once he started cracking all the jokes, I'm like, okay, he's getting delirious. He's done now. I was like, this isn't going
to
go well.
Right. Some levity to this episode, mm-hmm. admittedly. Yeah.
But
I liked him.
Mm-hmm. I did too. But like I said, that was good that they were able to kind of save everybody with that.
Yeah, and especially without technology. They saved it mm-hmm. based on their own merits.
I feel like hospitals should have both. Like, if you're going to, don't go all digital. Because you just never know, you know what I mean? Right. What can happen in medical records and things like that is so important. Like, I feel like this is a lesson learned. If other hospitals, like real life hospitals, are watching mm-hmm. Grey's Anatomy, maybe that'll be like, oh, maybe we shouldn't go all digital. Hopefully, no. I feel like no hospital should be that way.
But right, and I get it. But you do have to remember, like, going green, all the paperwork, if you kept hard copies of everything. I mean, I understand, like, you can use the technology for organizational purposes, mm-hmm. like this patient's in this bed, this mm-hmm. operating room, whatever. But also, I think the medicine, like, which ones have been distributed to mm-hmm. which patients should also be kept as hard copy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah, the big things.
That's what the prescriptions ones. Pads are for. They have them for a reason.
And the new doctor, oh, I forgot his name, but the one that was like the cyber backup.
Yeah, I liked him.
We both were so nervous at one point where he was trying to open the blood bank.
Right.
And he like used the defibrillator.
Defibrillator. Brilliant.
I was so nervous, though. It's Grey's Anatomy. Anything can happen. Like, that looked like it was going to be some type of accident.
Right. I was like, oh, no, he's going to electrocute himself. People are going to rush over to try to help him or resuscitate him. I was like, this cannot end up well. But I'm glad it did.
And they got us, too, because they had DeLuca, the girl DeLuca, because I forget her first name, but she was talking to Arizona, and they're just talking about sparks and electricity. So they had the buildup there for something to happen. But like I said, I'm glad it didn't. And then it opened up the blood bank, and so they were good from that point.
Pretty smart.
But
he played a great part, though, in this episode.
He did, yeah.
I mean, he outsmarted everyone, mm-hmm. all the feds that were working on
this. Yeah.
And I loved how he's like, I'm not at liberty to tell you. Right. I may or may not have cracked, mm-hmm. theoretically. I was like, that was brilliant.
Yeah.
Now I'm just curious of what else he's actually done.
What he can do, yeah. What he has done and what he can mm-hmm. do. And at towards the end, because he did able to kind of override everything the hackers were doing, because once he did give the information to Bailey and then she was trying to go back to the FBI, then she noticed that they weren't really there to get the hospital back up and running.
Yeah.
They were there to catch the hackers. So that was more important to them than getting the hospital back up. And Bailey noticed that. And it's like, okay, we'll have to take matters into my own hands.
Right.
Let's do this. So he was able to override. Like, and also she couldn't get a hold of Jackson because of his issues. So we'll get to that. So she was just like, we have to do something. So, yeah, she had him override the system, which is really good. And then so she was grilling him, though, on like, well, why do you hypothetically... Why are you in this situation? Like, is it, you know, sex, drugs, kids? Like, he's like, no, none of the above. And then we find out that he is a transgender male. Like, he just broke into the DMV records to be able to change his gender.
Right.
Which is like, it sucks. Okay, what you actually did, it's a felony. It's bad.
Yes.
But at the same time, you should have that right to have it changed, in my opinion.
And it just shows that his character was not nefarious at
right.
all. Mm-hmm. He was just a person trying to be his true self. Mm-hmm. And and I like that because it shows that also just shows he's a good character who wanted the betterment for the hospital.
Yeah.
He was in it mm-hmm. for the patients and just helping people.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was very endearing.
Yeah. I wonder if he's going to be a reoccurring
I would character. Like him to be.
Yeah.
He could be our tech guy.
He could be the tech
Shoot.
Guy.
I mean, he was so likable. Just in mm-hmm. the few moments we had with him and Bailey, I think they had a lot of great dialogue back and forth mm-hmm. and some fun banter. Yeah, he was great. Keep him for something.
I know,
He's super smart.
Yeah. So, we'll see. Yeah. I did. I liked his character, so we'll see if he'll stay there. I'm kind of going by, like, just character situations, so if seems like we're jumping all over the place because I'm kind of going by characters. But so like I mentioned, Bailey couldn't get a hold of Jackson because he was in the accident in the helicopter with the
with Maggie. Pump.
Yeah, with Maggie. Oh, my God. That was so awkward.
I totally forgot about that, admittedly. And then I was like, oh, yeah, it did spread everywhere.
That thing popped and the blood just went everywhere. But before that, they were having their conversation. And then Jackson, you know, says like, oh, thank God we're not related. And Maggie's like, she doesn't know which way to take it. And then, mm-hmm. boom, that situation happens. So then fast forward, they get back to the hospital. They have to clean. They do their surgery. They finish that. Then they're stuck in the shower. It was so gross.
It was so nasty.
It was so gross. And then when the daughter, when he put his hand like, oh, we're going to save him.
Right,
like,
don't worry. We got this.
I'm it's like a pile of blood on her shoulder.
Right. It's nasty.
But then him and Maggie are stuck in the shower room. Because they can't get the codes to get mm-hmm. more scrubs and things like that. So once again, the conversation continues.
And the sexual right. tension continues.
Yeah. About like, because I wrote it down. What did he say? He's like, yeah, good thing we aren't, cause so we can do what we want to do. And we can be who we want to be. It's like.
Well, what are you leading up to?
Right. I don't know. And with the writers and everything, like, I don't know if they're teasing us. I don't know if they're still playing around with the idea of Jackson and Maggie. Maybe, I don't, if they're getting our feedback as far as fans,
mm-hmm.
that we're not too keen on that. Because we talk about it a lot in the panel. We have it, sometimes when we have our live chat, the fans are like, no, they're not here for Jackson and Maggie either.
Right.
Because every time they're interrupted. So right when he said that on the helicopter, that happened. Then mm-hmm. when they were in the shower room, boom, here comes the guy with the scrubs. Every time they try to get somewhere, it's interrupted. To me, that's a sign. Don't go with it.
It's like a near-miss moment. Yeah. But that's also just makes for good drama because you kind of want to keep putting them together and they keep getting interrupted.
Yeah.
But you kind of still want to get them to
eventually
be together. Because
now you want to see what's going to happen.
And we know Maggie has always liked him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we had that whole love triangle, like, or love parallel, whatever you want to call it, parallelogram. couple seasons ago. She's always liked Jackson. Yeah. And I think this is probably one of the first times that Jackson might actually reciprocate the feelings back. Because mm-hmm. he was always into someone else. Or it was just wrong time yeah. in this relationship. They're both single. Right now, they're actually at a point in their lives where they could be together. Yes, the circumstances are awkward.
I know. I was like,
they're semi-adjacent related, but not by blood. Related.
Right. But like Maggie was saying, though, because once again, here he is. Now, he's a little more forward this time. It's the end of the night. He's asking Maggie to have a drink. And then she's like, she just, you know, kind of calls it for what it is. It's very complicated. Like it she is. Said, because we said she likes him. So she's not just saying, okay, well, no. We can't do this. She kind of wants to, but let's be aware of how this can go. Because
it could go terribly.
So wrong.
But don't we kind of want to see it, though? We do. Just a little bit. Aren't we just that a part little of it. Bit
It's like,
curious.
I don't really want to see them together. But at the same time, if they were to get together, I would like to see the drama of that. Because it's mm-hmm. it would be so awkward. Family dinners, and you guys are together. Right. But you're sitting there being like stepbrother and sister. That's weird.
Admittedly, I'm a big sucker for Dune relationships. I do kind of enjoy just watching them. Really? Just to see how they play out. Because sometimes that it just makes for great drama.
That's true.
It That's really funny, yeah. does. But we know Maggie's has always liked him. Mm-hmm. And the moments that they spent together, they're like, they actually could be yeah. good.
Yeah, I think.
Good together.
They don't have really a lot in common, as they once no. they talk about. But
of course, he was Mr. Popular.
Right?
Get out of here. Stop that it. Was so funny. I was the Maggie in that situation. I was like, girl, I feel you. Yeah, I do.
I was in between. I don't know. I feel like I was just like coasting through high school.
Oh, no. Like, here's the popularity totem pole. I was like way over there. Oh. No.
I just, high like I said, I was terrible. Just like coasting through. Terrible. You see me? No, really? Okay.
Right. Like, that's fine. I get where Maggie's
I'm making
coming.
It through here. But yeah,
they could what be something. Gonna, they could be something.
They could. That's what I was gonna say. Their chemistry is actually not too bad. I think I just don't like the idea of it. But when we do see them together, to me, their chemistry isn't bad. So we'll see. We'll see where yeah. that goes. But so I want to talk about Karev now. I was proud of him this episode because. Mm-hmm. Him seeing Paul, too, took him by surprise as well, almost just like Joe. Like, he's just, he hasn't seen, well, he saw Joe, but it wasn't the time for her to tell him about Paul because he was taking care of the kid. But, yeah, his so she teacher. Was like, yeah, so, right, and that comes first. So, because she wasn't in any danger, immediate danger, so, like, you know, you deal with this, save this life, that's first. So he doesn't know that Paul is there.
Right.
And then he's in his scrubs getting ready for surgery, and you just look up, and here is your, they're engaged now, right, Joe? Mm-hmm. And, yeah, here's your fiancé's abuser, and you're a person that has a temper, and you're so protective.
And an abusive side. Well, yeah. Like, he's a physical mm-hmm. guy. Mm-hmm. He's gotten into fights. He almost yes. went to prison for beating someone else up.
Yeah.
So, like, we know he can lash out when yeah. absolutely he has anger issues.
Mm-hmm. That's yes. why I said I was proud of him this episode. Because to look up and out of nowhere, you see this person, I feel like your first instinct, well, Karev's first instinct would be to attack.
Right.
And to protect, because to him, that is protection for Joe. But he didn't, but he was taken aback, like, okay, I'll deal with you later, because I still kind of have to go.
But he did a great job of sending interns in to protect mm-hmm. Joe.
Yes,
like,
he did.
She cannot be alone mm-hmm. at all. Mm-hmm. Go find her.
And that's why I was like, the song that like, we played, right? right? The you're song good, that we played at the beginning, like, the passenger, it's like, okay, this is Joe's situation, so it's like, she's the driver because it's her issue that he's dealing with. But he's right there by her side, literally. Even though, you know, like you said, he had the interns go find her and stay with her, literally. Like, the one intern, like, went into the stall with her when she went to the bathroom. She's Helm. Like, can you get her?
That was so funny. Helm. Like, Helmoth, without the L.
Without the
L. Brilliant.
But, yeah, but I love that about Karev. I know I was at a point where, because I like Karev and Meredith's relationship and, like, the other panelists were like, no, but I was kind of like rooting for Meredith and Karev at some point. And
see,
then I
you
got
also
over.
Like doomed relationships as well.
I do. I like the best friends turned lovers relationships, even though they most of the time are doomed, but like those yeah. are the ones that I like. But I was like, okay, no, that's not going to work. And this episode really showed me, like, no, it's Joe. It's really Joe that has his heart, because he was just so protective just immediately. As soon as he saw Paul and was able to, he saw the intern, like, go get her. I need to know that she's okay and stay with her at all times, because this is not a good situation if this guy is here.
Yeah, he was just being a good guy. A good fiance.
Yeah. And Meredith, too. Like, also, when you... I really love Grey's Anatomy, so lately I've been watching, like, old episodes. So to see, like, early Meredith and see her now, it's, like, her growth, she's grown so much as well. So Paul jumps in on her surgery to help her on the case with the lady. And then she looks up. Well, once he says his name, it's like, I know you. And I love how she didn't even... She just kind of cut it right there. Like, I know who you are. I'm friends with Joe. Yeah. So, like, we're not even going to, you know, kind of just play this game. Because he said, let's talk about the elephant in the room. Let's talk about your Harper Avery. Being sarcastic, he knew. I feel like he had a feeling like she knew, because of the way she kind of looked at him. And it's like, you know what, let's just cut it. I know who you are. You know, instead of beating around the bush.
I did love how you said that. She's grown. She definitely has since season one and all that. But she's always good at being the nurturing person and taking care of her friends and her family. I mean, she's a great mother as well. But also, she's great at compartmentalizing. She's there. Her hands are literally in someone's body. She's trying to save someone's life. So she also knows it's just not the right time. Or place to bring up his personal issues with Joe. You know, so it's like she has a job to do, and so does he. So I think she was really good at just judgment of how to handle the situation.
Yeah, that's a good point, too. And then when she, because during that, you know, that surgery, that is where more of the doubt came for me, once he started talking about Joe and some of the things that he was saying about her, and, you know, she wasn't stable and all these other things. And as we see, Joe was sitting in the room where you can observe the surgery, listening in on everything that he was saying. Then they get out. She just runs to Meredith like he's lying. You know, some things may have been the truth, but he's stretching it, twisting it around. And for Meredith to just, you know, hug her in that moment, like, I know who you are. You know, it's like you said, to be very nurturing and to really be a friend and be there for someone. I really like that about her character.
Yeah, I mean, she's great. That's why she is, you know, Meredith Grey. Her name is like the master of the show. Like, she is Grey's Anatomy.
Yes.
Yes. I love Meredith, and she's just such a solid rock foundation for everybody. She is the heart of Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah, and also Karev, because she knows him. She knows his personality. And he wanted to sit in with Joe while they signed the papers, papers. And it's like, no, you can't go anywhere near him.
It's like, nope, don't even touch the papers.
Because you know this could go wrong. And you may attack him. We're going to avoid that. Because also, in the case with DeLuca, he was understanding and he was compassionate towards Karev, and so he didn't go forward with pressing charges or anything like that. Someone like Paul Stradler, that also has power and everything, he would throw him under the jail. So it was good for Meredith to kind of be that voice of reason. Voice of reason to say, no, I'll do it. I'll handle it. I'll be there with her. You know, you have to sit this one out.
I love that. It also made me nervous, especially when Karev dropped the lines like, I should have killed him when I could have. It was like, no. That is what will actually get you in trouble and make you a person, like the number one culprit for whatever happens in the next episode that we'll see and we'll talk about. But like, it's stuff like that where people would make you a suspect. Like, don't do that. Don't say that. I know you're thinking it, but that's something you internalize, Karev. Come on.
Yeah.
Especially after your situation with DeLuca.
Right. And
you should know better.
Ears everywhere, so you never know who heard what. But yeah. Let's see.
With the whole Paul, though, it just made me surprised just to see, like, how twisted he was when he was talking to Joe. And just, like, how you can tell how condescending he is. And that they're physical, we haven't seen the physical abuse that Joe keeps talking about, but there's also definitely emotional abuse, too. So much emotional abuse.
He's very...
That's a psychological thing you can't get over.
And it seems like he was very manipulative as well.
Oh, yeah.
And then, so Joe wanted to talk to his fiance, Jenny, and then she actually did. So they had to sit down. They were able to distract Paul to get him away from her for a little while so that she could talk to her. And while they were talking, you know, at first she's like, oh, my gosh, you really are crazy. This is what Jenny was saying to Joe. You know, guys are always calling their ex crazy. So she thought it was just one of those things. She's like, no, you really are crazy. But Joe is like pouring out her heart. Like, he can't have been a changed man. I think that's what she's feeling. So you have to be going through the same thing. And she kind of told Joe, told Jenny everything that she had been through with him. Mm-hmm. And Jenny got emotional. She started to cry a little bit. She teared up. And so I was thinking. At first, I was thinking that, okay, maybe she is going through it, but she's not going to admit it right here. But she got a little taken aback, so, maybe she'll reach out to Joe later or something.
Or, so this could go into predictions territory, or do you think she knew that Joe was telling the truth and she was afraid to admit it, but she was forced to tell Paul because maybe he threatened to hit her or something. He like threatened to almost beat the information out of her, and that's why she turned him. She told Paul about it.
She tells Paul later on.
I mean, we don't know that.
Yeah, we don't know yet. That's a good point. That he could have done that, because then I was like, okay, so she got emotional, but then she goes back and tells Paul. So I was thinking, well, maybe.
Why?
Yeah, like, why did she do that?
Unless he scared her and threatened her.
Into telling, like, what did you talk about?
And she actually told him because of who the person that he is.
Right, yeah.
That could be it.
I think that might be it. Because I really think she's going through the same thing.
Yeah.
Because any other time, you may have just, like...
She was crying.
She was crying. Because you would have just listened to her, to Joe, heard her out. Okay, whatever. That's not my husband. Move on. But, yeah, she got emotional. So something touched her. So...
I think Paul threatened her, threatened to get the information out of her.
I think so,
and
too.
And he did.
Mm-hmm.
He used that.
And then, I'll say that for predictions.
Okay.
but let me see. I feel like we have covered everything.
Yeah.
So maybe we can kind of get into predictions.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and get into predictions.
And now, you're after Buzz TV.
Predictions.
Predictions.
Okay. So, like you said, I think that Paul may have threatened Jenny into telling him that information. So we see on the clip that he has been involved in a hit and run accident.
Yeah.
Paul has. And
very
he's like,
convenient.
Yes. And then you see Joe and Karev just kind of standing on the outside of the hospital room like, okay, well, it's convenient. You guys are here right now.
Just happens.
Yeah. And then they also go to show... Jenny saying, don't worry, I'm not going to say that it was you.
Mm-hmm.
So that adds to the fact of maybe he did, and she does probably want to get out. So with this way, or she could still be in a moment, because with situations like that in abusive relationships, the person can get into your head so much that she may tell her that. Jenny may tell Joe, like, I'm not going to tell, just to kind of get her in a comfortable place.
Mm-hmm.
And then possibly turn on her if Paul makes it through. And then that fear will come back. So I just kind of want to see how that's going to go. If Paul's going to make it through, if he does, I feel like Jenny may flip and then say something towards the fact that Joe may have had something to do with the hit and run.
Because it doesn't seem like the fiance was hurt at all,
mm-mm.
or Jenny. And if you can assume that they were in the same car, I don't know what happened. I don't think Karev and Joe did it. I think they know who did it, though.
Mm.
They could be witnesses. Very convenient that it happens to be against a guy that they hate.
Yeah.
But I think just with their history alone, yeah, they don't like Paul, mm-hmm. but they're good enough people to not do that and cause an accident that almost killed him.
Mm-hmm.
In that way.
Yeah.
It's too nefarious. And they're just too good enough people to do something.
To do that.
As dark as that.
That's true.
I don't think they did it. Come on.
They probably
then
know
you,
who did,
like,
yeah.
Then, Krev, what was all of last season for when you could have gone to prison just to ram a guy's car and almost kill him just to go back to prison?
Yeah.
Well, like, he didn't go to prison, but he almost went
to
prison.
Right, but he had his moment of remorse, and so it's like, you have changed, so then why
you
do that?
You have changed, but so, like, why would you do something else that can also send you back to prison?
That's true.
Like, good come point. On. So, yeah, I don't think they did it. No.
Yeah.
It's Joe and Kareth.
True. We'll have to see how that goes. I'm interested. The way they set it up, though, I'm interested to see how it's going to play out.
Right.
Yeah.
I think they witnessed the situation, or they know something.
They know something.
Not tell us.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
I think next episode we're going to touch back on Maggie and Jackson. I think next episode they may go have their drink.
Or dinner.
Or dinner.
Or something else after that.
Not we'll all that. See. I'm not ready. We'll no, just yeah. drinks.
Just drinks. Well, one leads to another. Just saying.
That's all right. I really, because I thought it was about to go down in that shower room. Like,
oh, I know. How awkward was right? that? Like,
so yeah, maybe.
We're just in our towels.
Yeah,
for
but. So I think we're getting closer to the Jaxie and Maggie saga.
Yeah. I think so, too. Again, they're both single right now.
Mm-hmm.
She's dating on Tinder. He's a millionaire.
Why? Yeah.
Like, he has nothing else going on other than his money.
And the fact of someone else kind of creeping around, you know how people kind of get territorial over other people, even if they haven't really started a relationship. Mm-hmm. The fact that, he sees someone else, like, kind of sniffing around Maggie is going to probably push him towards her more. So that's why I feel like that, yeah, they're going to have that drink next episode.
I think so, too.
I think that's all that I have. Oh, one small little point.
Okay.
With Richard, who convinced Kepner to take over the big contest because he still wants to participate in it. And he, like, totally convinced her, manipulated her into thinking that she was asking him if she wanted him to wanted her to take over. Like,
it's that reverse psychology
that
he did so well.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to also see him trying to get his like little mojo back. Like, he wanted to mention the age, but for him it's more so, not that he can't handle it, he wants to be a part of that competition. It's going to be good to kind of see Weber like really back in action, because we've seen him do small things that's like, okay,
here and
that's
there.
Yeah, that's why you are where you are. You're the chief, right? So I think we're gonna start to see a little bit more of Richard making those power moves again.
No, I like that, and it's good to see him like actually do medicine, because mm-hmm. that's what he loves, and it puts him on the same playing field as literally everybody else.
Yeah,
so that's mm-hmm. it's healthy competition.
It is. Yeah.
There you go.
All right, so next week we just have to wait to see if all these things unfold.
We'll see.
Yeah. Thank you guys for joining us. Once again, I'm El Marie, and you guys can find me on Instagram and on Twitter at El Marie TV.
And you can find me everywhere at Serafini TV.
And we'll see you guys next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed here are those of the hosts only, and not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.